Okay. Open up your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You remember when the Twin Towers got hit? Osama bin Laden said that judgment came through him by God. Christians were saying that judgment came on America from God. Now, can you see that something might be amiss when believers and terrorists agree on the same thing? There could be something wrong. And it just annoys me to no end when some major event, you know, like when the Hurricane Katrina hit in Louisiana, one of the biggest annoying things that I ran into was the amount of church people saying that's God's judgment on Louisiana. And then when California was on fire, the amount of church people saying that's God's judgment on Florida, on California. I said, well, then you better hang on because Texas is next. Well, honestly, if he's got to destroy California for their wrongdoing, then he's got to destroy Texas for their wrongdoing. But here's the thing, and this is one of my biggest pet peeves, is people will run around saying if God doesn't do something about this, then he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, God, when he went to Sodom and Gomorrah, he was not on a sin hunt. He didn't go there looking for sin. He told Abraham, you know, Abraham said, well, if there's 50 righteous, will you destroy it? And he said, if there's 50, I won't destroy it. He said, well, how about 30? You know, and he kept talking to him. What Abraham was doing was interceding. He knew the people in Sodom and Gomorrah weren't doing right. He knew Lot wasn't living right. But he didn't say, go burn them. And in fact, he stood in front of him and said, how about if there's 10 righteous? How about if there's 5 righteous? So God went in there looking for 5 righteous people. He found 5 righteous people and got them out of there and destroyed the cities. He wasn't looking for sin. He went down there looking for righteousness, and there wasn't much. But anyway, you have to understand that terrorism is the work of the devil. You know, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I wish the church would just stop and reflect on that verse when something major happens and say, you know, that's the devil that caused that hurricane. That's the devil that caused those fires. But what happens is they want to give themselves the chance to look better than somebody else. You know, the thing of it is Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Did you know California's sins were already judged? They've already been judged. Now, people do have a habit of jumping up and grabbing the curse and pulling it down around their ears. And then bad things happen. But always remember John 10:10. It's not God doing it to them. It's not God. Now, somebody will invariably say, well, what about God's fiery judgment? Look at 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 52. Remember, when we take communion, we look at this every Sunday. The fiery wrath of God's judgment was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. 1 Kings 22, verse 52. But when Jesus was on that cross, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on him. He exhausted his judgment for us on him. He didn't hold some back for us for a later day. Verse 52, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, and the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal. You realize there's some people on this earth that really do serve Baal. They're here. They're here. There are people that have sold their souls for money, fame, and power. They will be judged. They will be judged harshly. But you've already been judged. The Bible tells us when God raised Jesus back to life, you got justified freely by his grace. You can't be justified until you've first been judged. You've already been judged. Now there's Christians. There are Christians that live in fear of the great white throne judgment. Did you know you don't qualify for that place? You do not qualify for the great white throne judgment. The minute you got born again, you got clear to that place. The people that go to the great white throne judgment, and see, this is the thing. The very next step after the great white throne judgment is the lake of fire. The people that go to the great white throne judgment are the people that would not receive Christ as their Savior. Did you know that's the one sin that will get you sent to hell? That's the one. The one sin that will get you sent to hell is to not receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now let's go over to 2 Kings chapter 1. And we'll find out what happened to this guy here. 2 Kings chapter 1. Verse 1. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover this disease. So he was telling them to go to Beelzebub. That's the Lord of the flies. That's Satan. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. When the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? They answered him, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins, and he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king, so he's dealt with this guy before. You know, God will talk to people a lot. And these people won't forget the people that he sent to talk to them. They may ignore him, but they won't forget him. This guy evidently had ignored Elisha a lot. And actually, he was even so much turned off towards him that he was willing to call on Satan. But then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of a hill, and he spoke unto him, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. And Elijah answered and said unto the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly. Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again another 50, another captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up, came and fell on his knees before Elijah, besought him, said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains and the former 50s with their 50s before. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. The angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. So now there's Bible for fire from heaven. There's fire from a fiery, there's Bible for a fiery wrath from God right there. That's in the Word of God, isn't it? You know, even John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, asked Jesus, says, shall we have fire come down and consume these? Well, he had a Bible reference to work from, didn't he? There's Christians running around all the time holding references like this as a reason why God should bring fire down from heaven and burn up California, burn up different places. But let me ask you something. Did the cross change anything? Did the cross really make a difference? Does the cross really mean anything? Now, what side of the cross did this get set on? Before the cross. Then why are Christians running around trying to live that way? You can't find anywhere in the Bible after the cross of fire consuming people. Not Christian. And actually, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He would that all men repent, come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, that door is going to stay open right until the very last minute. That door is going to stay open. He doesn't want anybody to not get saved. He wants all of them. You know, this drives people crazy. He even wants terrorists to get saved. You know, even some of the meanest people in the Middle East, he wants them to get saved. Did you know that? You know, that Jesus died on the cross for them too? Well, how can you say he wants somebody so mean and vile like that to get saved? Well, according to the definition of a terrorist, Paul would have qualified. Thank God for the grace of God, he can turn terrorists into apostles. One dynamic preacher I knew, or I read about, I didn't know him personally, but I read about him and read his story, and he had a booming church up in Oregon. People were getting healed, and actually they named his city the healthiest city in Oregon. There were just miracles. People were just getting healed all over the place. But before he became a preacher, he was a drug dealer, a big time drug dealer. And he lived in Columbia and had his own ranch. And all of a sudden, his ranch started getting taken over by some other cartel, and he was escaping, and somebody was going to do him wrong, and he put a belt around his throat, and they finally got out of there, and he said, you know, I was willing to kill that man at the drop of a hat. And he got out of there, and he got to a place, got to a mission, and he got saved, and he started learning about Jesus, and then Jesus turned him into a preacher. How about that? Jesus has a whole different set of rules, it seems like. You know, my friend was telling me, he was a pastor, and he said, according to the church rules, he wasn't supposed to be able to be a pastor. I said, why? He said, because he drank a half a beer one time when he was a kid. Do you see how man's ways are not exactly the same way as God's ways? Sometimes men demand perfection from a man even before he meets Jesus. Jesus takes the most imperfect people that it seems like he can find, and he does some really wonderful things with them. Look at that poster sometime. And really look at those guys are kind of misfits, but they did great things. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Rightfully divide the New Testament from the Old Testament. There's a lot of Christians that are walking around in complete condemnation because they failed. You know, they get pounded into him, said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your body. Hallelujah. Well, do they got word for it? Yeah, Jesus said it himself, didn't he? What side of the cross did he say it on? Before the cross. And it's the law. So we have Christians preaching the law to people. That should not happen. It's the law. I don't care how you try to look at it. That's the law. And in fact, the reason he said that was one guy was telling him how well he had performed in keeping the law. So Jesus showed him how he had missed it. Do you know that you'll not be able to keep that law? As hard as you may try, and as hard as you may think you're getting it, and as good as you maybe think you're doing, you'll sit down and the devil will remind you how you didn't keep that law. But I did this, I did this. Yeah, but if you really loved people, if you really loved God, you would have went and bought that old lady some groceries. If you really loved God, you'd spend more time on the mission field. If you really loved God, you would have done this different. He'll always find a way to point out how we failed the law. But what happened after the cross? John told us to believe the love that God has for us. When we believe that God loves us, that makes loving everybody else a lot easier. And it sure makes loving God a lot easier. You know, it's not in us to truly love until we get born again. In fact, the Bible tells us that the love of God gets shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And it's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. Did you know that? Love is not a feeling, it's a doing. But we have to rightfully divide what we hear. You'll hear a lot of Old Testament preached by some people. That's not the same as what the New Testament is. The cross really did make a difference. And we need to realize that, and we need to act on it. We need to act like it made a difference. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 54. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." That right there should give a clear understanding on some of these natural disasters. It drives me crazy when they call them acts of God. It's not an act of God. Killing, stealing, and destroying is not an act of God. They may be natural disasters, but they're not from God. He's not in the killing, stealing, and destroying business. Right there, the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. Now these guys asked him, "How about this?" He said, "Shall we command fire to come down from heaven?" They had a word of God for it, didn't they? Remember in Kings? Elisha, he called it down a couple times. But Jesus said, "That's not why I'm here. And that's not why we're here." In fact, our job is try to keep people from getting in contact with that fire. See, the same way Abraham got in between God and Lot, got in between God and Sodom and Gomorrah, and interceded for them. That's what we do. Every time you witness to somebody, you realize that you're interceding for them? Because you're getting in between them and the trouble that they're headed for. You know, if they receive it, they receive it. And if they don't, they don't. And you're not responsible for that one way or the other. You're responsible to sow the word. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, most of the church focuses on 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, praise God. But you also have to remember verse 17, where it says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's a lot of people running around under church-given condemnation. There's a lot of people. You know, they made a mistake, and the church harassed them until they left. You know, or they just went somewhere else. I knew a guy that had tattoos on him, and he asked me, do you know how hard it is to find a church that I don't get judged for all these tattoos? And I said, don't worry about it. I said, can you wash them off? I said, no. I said, then go on with it. You're born again. You're saved. Just keep going. But, you know, there's a lot of churches. If you're not just a certain way, you're not accepted. One pastor I knew, he could speak Spanish. And he went down to this town and he was doing meetings there. And anyway, he went to a place and he got a bunch of people born again. And they said, now what do we do? And, well, he's seen a sign. And it was a Spanish-speaking church. So he took all these people up to this Spanish-speaking church and took them up there, and the pastor came out there and said, no. And he didn't understand. He said, why they're born again? And he said, you're a pastor. And he said, yeah, but they're not. They don't fit in here. He said, what do you mean? They don't fit in. They speak Spanish. They're poor. We don't associate with them. See, Jesus said to see no man after the flesh. And as far as he's concerned, church buildings should be filled with every kind of race of people that you can imagine. Every kind of class, they should be filled with rich people, poor people, every different kinds of color you can imagine. He's into people. And he doesn't matter what color they are. He doesn't matter how rich or poor they are. He just loves people. And he wants all of them in his family. But it's hard to get them into the family when they feel condemned. But Jesus isn't condemning them. John 10:10 tells us that it was the devil that came to destroy people, not Jesus. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That should be our number one goal. seek and save the lost. We'll stop there. We're not going to get through the rest of this. But thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for everything that you do for us every day. Father, give us a chance to witness to somebody. Show us who it is that you would want us to talk to. And give us the wisdom so we know how to talk to them in a way that they'll receive Jesus. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.